Life can be messy and hard, but one of the things God has promised to give us is freedom. Freedom deep in our hearts that is not dependent on the ever-changing waves of circumstances, but set on the steadfast promises of God. This freedom gives us a secure identity, even with a broken past. It helps us have joy in parenting, even when we are completely exhausted. This freedom gives us love for our spouses, even when they are unlovable. And it can give us purpose in our careers, even if it's not the one we want.
But I feel stuck sometimes, don't you? What does it really mean that Christ has set us free? That's why we're here. Welcome to the Abiding Free podcast with Kristen and Shannon. We invite you to walk on this bumpy but beautiful journey toward freedom as we learn to abide in Him. Get ready for tears and laughter and everything in between, because this podcast is about living from the truth that yes, it was for freedom that Christ has set you free. Hey guys, Kristen and Shannon here. So glad you're here for the second episode of the Abiding Free podcast. If you want to know more about our vision and focus, I'd encourage you to listen to our first episode, which is really just kind of gives you a good picture of what we're all about, what Abiding Free is. So I'd suggest to check it out.
So we're super pumped about these next two episodes where we, Kristen and Shannon, share our own stories with you. And, you know, it won't be obviously every detail. We'll be sharing our stories throughout episodes, throughout our podcast. But we are doing this at the front and to share some significant points of our story with you, because we want you to know why this message, walking in the freedom that Christ has given us through abiding in Him, is something that we are so passionate about. And we plan on inviting you in here to the messiness and the beauty of our lives to show you how this isn't something we've accomplished, you know, checked the box, but we have tasted and walked in this freedom. And it's why we want it so badly for other women. So, we step out of that freedom sometimes too.
Yeah. But today we're excited because Kristen's going to share her story or a part of her story. Mm-hmm. And we consider everyone in this podcast community a friend, and we really want to open our hearts to you so that you know really just more about who you're hearing from. And Kristen, even as close as we are, you know, I'm excited because even just talking in this format, I feel like we get to even learn more about each other, kind of diving in this way. So what are you thinking? Where do you want to start and kind of just sharing your journey?
Yeah, thanks, Shannon. Well, honestly, I think I'd just love to share that, you know, I was actually really blessed to grow up with two loving parents. I know that not everybody has had that. And I also have two older brothers who I am still very close to. We've definitely had bumps in the road, but have a great relationship with them. And I think probably one of the greatest blessings I had growing up was that my mom would plop my brothers and I down. And this is just a significant memory for me. She'd plop us down most nights in our bedroom door sill. Is that what it's called? Is that a word? Door sill?
Window? Yeah, like when, in an earthquake, you go under the sill.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sill. Right? Yeah. Okay.
I think.
What do you guys think? No. Some of you are like, no, shaking your head right now. But so we'd sit down in, you know, our door frame, we'll call it that, just to be on the safe side. And she'd read us the Bible all the time. And so my brothers and I would sit there, we'd fight, we'd squirm. Honestly, I don't know what I truly believed at the time, but it was seeds.
Yeah, I actually really love that because sometimes as parents, we do get the gift of seeing God working in our kids. But other times, you know, it's so frustrating. You know, it can be such a battle to get them to sit still. I swear my three boys are like, have a strategy against me. Sometimes I'm going to like pull my hair out. It can be discouraging at times, you know? And so hearing about the faithfulness of your mom and just the seeds that were put inside of you and the impact that had long term, I don't know, it's just encouraging to me.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. I know. I think that really was what laid a foundation for this whole journey of freedom, obviously, was God's word just being, you know, planted. And so, you know, one thing I would share is that although I had, you know, two loving parents, they both loved God, were very protective. I had very strict parents. One of the hardest parts of my childhood was I endured repeated episodes of sexual abuse by someone outside my family as a young child. And so then as a teenager and young adult, when I was sexually abused again, it piled, you know, more layers of trauma on. And so I don't want it to appear that I'm skipping over that. I just feel like the very opposite. It's actually such a significant part, I know, of both my journey journey and Shannon's. And we want that to be in more comprehensive episodes of how we found freedom through those, right?
Yeah, that's huge.
Yeah. So anyway, I do want to go back to, while I was super thankful, my mom, you know, had been reading God's word over all these years, because, you know, she actually got breast cancer twice when I was 12 years old, another really difficult time in my life. But I got to watch her live out that faith, the words that she'd been preaching to us as she walked through that trial. Isn't that what suffering does a lot?
Yeah, that's incredible. It does. Yeah. It provides an opportunity to display God. That's beautiful. Yeah.
So, you know, the seeds that she had planted were being demonstrated through her. But unfortunately, in the midst of all that, my parents' marriage was not good. So that really, I think, highlighted something that I think was going on a little bit in my family as a childhood is that, you know, the outside of my family, we looked really great. My brothers and I were successful. We did well at school. We went to church. Our family had good relationships with others. Mm-hmm. On top of that, we lived in a very affluent area. It was a very high performing area as well. And so we strived for that high performance. And overall, there were so many parts of my childhood and teen years I loved. I really had, you know, overall, I think a great childhood, but the inside walls of my home and heart were not always good. And, you know, as I mentioned, my parents' marriage was not going well. So at 16 years old, they divorced. It was actually a huge shock. Yeah.
That's such a volatile age too.
Oh man, it really was. Yeah. I was definitely on this vulnerable age. And in my heart, you know, as well, it was something that I wasn't able to even reflect on until years passed. But, you know, again, on the outside, I was this outgoing, you know, somewhat popular girl at school. But on the inside, I had so much insecurity, sometimes even like self-loathing, jealousy of others. I found my identity and what I could do or perform and honestly, who liked me. I wanted people so badly to like me. It just bound me up. So basically, it's a really bad place to live from, hence the self-loathing. I did go to church youth group, but I found this is what makes me sad even now is like I look back and my secular high school was more accepting and inclusive than my cliquey high school group. And it just furthered my insecurity and confusion about God and the church.
Can you go into that a bit more? Explain that.
Sure. So I think what I mean is that at that point, God and the church were one more thing to add to my life.
Okay.
Yeah. I didn't really understand about this like personal relationship with God, how life-giving it could be if everything flowed from that relationship. Instead, I thought we did things for a relationship with God. So I think that's really where I started from in that. So yeah, but thanks for asking for that. So I went to college and I took all that insecurity, confusion, deepening depression with me over my parents' divorce. It just took it all with me. I think I went to like one counseling appointment as a teenager.
Okay.
And that was it. And my parents were there and it ended up kind of being more focused on what was going on there. So I never went back. So I never really
addressed.
Yeah. Never like just deeply addressed that. And I just stuffed it. So, and I fell right into the college life. I joined a sorority. I partied up. I dated the boys, drank a lot. And honestly, it was fun. I'm not here to tell you that, oh gosh, I was just doing all these. It was pretty fun most of the time, you know?
Yeah.
I didn't have to think about home. I was in another state, so I didn't have to think about what was going on with my parents. I think at the time they started, you know, dating and that was hard. That was just hard to know what was going on. So I had wonderful friends at college. And I'd actually even still go to church on the weekends to tell my protective older brothers that
He would ask.
Oh yeah. They would like call me and they'd be like, did you go to church? And they're just very protective. And so, but what I did not tell them was that I was mostly hungover and slept through most of the messages. So yeah. But at the end of that year, I was super empty and didn't know why. So I was like, I was happy. I was on the surface, but there was this like brewing level underneath. And, you know, you see, my story was not, hey, I had a terrible life. I had a pretty good life, but it wasn't enough.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was interesting. The summer after my college year, I went to this conference called Harvest Crusade. And at that point, I really felt like being someone who followed Jesus was just about going to heaven one day.
So this was before your junior year?
Sorry, this was before my sophomore year.
Before your sophomore year. Okay.
I had that.
Sorry,
whole,
I missed that.
Oh, no, no. Thanks for actually, I probably didn't clarify that. That my whole freshman year of college.
Okay.
And then, yeah. So yeah, I went to Harvest, this Harvest Crusade. And at that point, I really felt like being a Christian meant going to heaven one day, kind of living a good life, adding God to my life, you know, to make things better. And the pastor who was speaking really talked about this word abundant life, abundant life. And I was like, I'm sitting there listening and just like, wait, well, I'm like, I have a pretty good life. Like, but he was like, it's Hi, friends. Imagine approaching God's word with confidence in your ability to glean meaningful truths. Imagine being excited to wake up and dive into studying. That is the mission behind the James Method and their exclusive, one-of-a-kind verse mapping journal. What is verse mapping, you ask? Excellent question. Verse mapping is a transformative study technique that involves dissecting a biblical verse, delving into its keywords, understanding its historical context, exploring alternate translations, and finding related references. But it doesn't stop there. The James Method Journal encourages reflection on the truths revealed and their application in your daily life. If you are ready to move beyond filling in the blanks and are excited to dig into scripture for yourself, the James Method Verse Mapping Journal might be just what you need. This is not just a product. It's an intimate journey into God's Word, making the Bible more than just a book on your shelf, but a living, breathing guide for your life. You can check out the James Method and all the Bible study products they offer in our show notes today, and make sure to use the code ABIDINGFREE to save 20% off your purchase. Full. Mm. And I'm like, oh, I realized I did not have that. I realized in that moment that I knew a lot about God, but I did not know him personally. Mm. There was a huge difference there for me. So yeah.
That's
so
powerful.
Yeah. So that night I didn't go down to the big altar call because I was still too prideful to admit that I didn't know
you
Jesus.
You don't want people looking at you.
Exactly. And I'm like, no, I'm good here. Like, but I did humble myself that night and I did get on my knees and just pray. And I told him, I said, I know a lot about you. I've been, you know, I know all these Bible stories, but I don't know you personally. I want this relationship with you. So, and that changed everything. I got back to college. I dusted off my Bible, literally. I had dust on it and the obligatory Bible I brought to college and I read it. And that's when I realized, I think freedom starts with the Spirit of God changing and opening our hearts. So 2 Corinthians 3:17 says that it's the Spirit that does that. I'd read the Bible before, but it was the Bible that taught me how to walk in that freedom. So so that's where I really think about it, is the Spirit's the one that opens your heart. Because I'd read the Bible a ton, but it was it was only, you know, through
when
the
God
Spirit.
Opened your eyes to the Spirit.
Exactly. And so being with him, you know, there are so many similarities to when you start dating someone, right? You were so fired up, and I was just like so fired up.
Yeah, I'd specifically say not even just dating, but actually falling in love with who you're dating, you know, because it's
exactly.
Like you get this feeling where you just want to know everything about them.
Yeah.
You know, you want to hear childhood stories. You want to see photos. You just want to soak it all in. You know, and the way you do that is by spending time with them, being with them.
Yeah. I had this thing, literally this thing I called joy stomach aches. And no joke, when I started reading the Bible, I became this Christ follower. I wouldn't be able to sleep at night because my stomach hurt because I had so much joy. I know that sounds wacky, but there's no other way I can describe it. Like, I was so excited. It like literally made me like.
That's wonderful. I love that.
It was just weird. So yeah, so I started a sorority ministry. And honestly, my friendships changed. It was hard. I was looked at as a little weird by some, and I don't blame them. I probably did look weird, and you know, and at the first, but it was the first time I think I felt so secure in who I was that I started caring less about what others thought of me. And I'd been just so enslaved for so long, you know, to what people thought of me. So, well, and then, so I was like a great place, but then life.
Yeah. Then life happened.
It's not all perfect, even after you start walking with God. And so, it was weird because there was this weird combination. I was growing in my faith, but I was also shocked and discouraged that I struggled so much of what I struggled with before becoming Christian. Hmm. I still struggle with people pleasing. What was that about? I thought that would be gone, completely gone. You know, I'd fall back into these old patterns, obsessed with my body and wanting to lose weight. That was a big thing for me in college. Insecurity, honestly. And there were points where I started wondering, is this really a better life being a Christ follower? Like, I lost friends. I was kind of, honestly, I was a little bit nerdier in my history. Yeah. I wasn't as well liked as I was, you know, that was hard. And so I found myself slowly feeling stuck at times. It started a cycle of walking in and out of freedom. And honestly, at this point, I was a year or I would say about a year into my journey as a believer. And it was tough. It was realizing that, okay, because this world is broken, though I am indwelt by the Spirit, I am not completely whole yet. Yeah, it just, I think it just started hitting me. And I know this sounds kind of weird, but I really find symbolic similarities to recovery programs, right? The first step is what is
acceptance.
Always, it's like acceptance, like the acceptance that this is a battle, that ultimate freedom. If you listen to our first episode, we talked about eternal freedom. Like, I had eternal freedom, that moment that I asked God to come and, you know, I want him to be in my life. I repented of my sins.
Surrendered.
He surrendered. He became my savior. That was eternal freedom, but that is paid for on the cross. But it's the daily freedom that I realized I had to accept that this was going to be a journey and a hard journey at times. And so to walk in the power over that sin, even though it's been paid for, but to walk in the power of that is a battle.
Yeah.
Is a battle. And so, that acceptance. So I think right around that time, I began learning about a spiritual discipline that changed my life. And over these years, this continues to help propel me back into walking to freedom. And I'm going to say this. So we all know about this discipline, but it is probably one of the least practiced and least popular ones. Fasting.
Yeah. I feel like you could probably do a whole podcast on that.
I hope so.
I'm sure we will. But I think it's being hangry is hard. You know, it's really hard.
It is. So my husband and I still fast and regularly, and we joke about like who's hangrier when we're fasting, and it's not always that way, but in some of our weak moments. And I would love to do, I think we'll do another episode on that because it's been so life changing in my life. And I think it, very few people do it. And I don't say that as a criticism. I actually say that as like, oh my gosh, like I would love for people to see the power in this. I actually started fasting when I was in college pretty early on in my faith. And I will say it was incredible. I would do it when I got stuck. I would do it over big decisions. And let me be clear, it was not the fast that was the powerful thing. It was the God that I met with in my fast that did some mighty work. So more on that later. But so I'll talk about fasting.
Okay. Let's talk more about your marriage. Can you take us into that a bit?
Oh yeah. Yeah. So marriage, you know, it's so great and so hard. Yeah. I know I'm going to be repetitive here, but we are going to be doing many episodes that cover a lot of aspects of marriage. And I found it incredibly wonderful and as equally challenging. It's hard. My struggle through it often sends me back into places where I get stuck, I think with fear, control, wanting my way. I mean, I've never loved anyone so deeply, and yet I've never felt more angry than in a big argument, right?
Yeah, my thoughts shock me.
Oh, I know. Yeah. It's like, what in the world? Like, where did that come from? Totally. And so, you know, and I do just want to say a side note here that, and I know Shannon, she's going to share her story the next episode, but be full transparency, Shannon and I both have really amazing godly husbands. And I want to say this tenderly, that we know a lot of you don't. We know that, first of all, a lot of you are married and maybe you just have a really tough marriage. Mm-hmm. You may be divorced, you may be separated, or you may be single. And so we are going to be talking about a wide span of marriage to singleness to people who've gone through divorce. And so we just want to say that very tenderly, that when we talk about marriage, we want to be open, but we want to be sensitive. We always want to be sensitive to the fact that there are some really difficult marriages going on. And we hope to actually also bring some freedom and to light.
Truth.
Light there. Exactly. So, so I just want to say too, one thing that we face together in our marriage is my infertility story. And again, we'll be talking about that topic in general much later. But I, you know, it was a time in my marriage where I actually learned that true surrender is freedom. Mm. That's really what I learned in my infertility journal, because I journal a lot. But honestly, being told we could never have kids sent me into a spiral. I still remember even the way the doctor like shuffled his papers and just looked awkward when he couldn't even give me eye contact. I'm like, haven't you done this before? But he was probably in response to like the devastated look on my face.
Yeah.
Poor guy. And so let me say something too. There is godly grief. So when I say it sent me into a spiral, there was a godly grief there. There was a time to lament. There was a time to wrestle with God. I mean, when you find out you can't have children, those of you that have faced that, you know, this is a time. It's okay to be weep and mourn and be angry and confused. And but what I just want to bring up here more specifically is that for me, it also took me to some very dark places. Mm-hmm. I assumed God forgot about me. I wondered if he'd punished me. I think perhaps hardest of all, I thought he was withholding from me. Like he did, like Eve thought in the garden. It's like God and Adam, they thought God was withholding something good for them from them. I thought I was doomed to have a worse life, I think, than others who could have children. But you see, this turned out to be another very pivotal moment in my journey. I'd gotten really low, really down. We had miscarriages, failed medical attempts. But there was a weekend midway through my journey. My husband took my daughter. We did have a daughter. Just an incredible story there. But we had one daughter, but we kept losing other children through the womb. And I had a weekend of prayer and fasting. And I just remember this point. I was sitting on the couch with my Bible open. And I know this is going to sound a little bit strange, like it was just this feeling, but I think it was the Spirit that was just pressed on my heart. And I was completely surrendered. And I know that because I said out loud, I was like, okay, Lord, in the depths of my soul, I want you more than anything else. And I think at that point I hadn't. I wanted other things. And again, those desires were not bad, but it was just what I had done with those desires. And so again, it was that picture of surrender.
Yeah.
And so I think, you know, just as I close, there's so many more things I'm going to share. I have so many stories I cannot wait to share with you guys about my life and just different, you know, parts on the way of just, you know, where I've gotten stuck. I love sharing story because I feel like it brings things to life. And, but I think that really is a theme for me is that through abiding, I surrendered and I found freedom. And that's just something I continually try to go back to is starting with the abiding, as Shannon and I talked about in the first episode, and surrendering there and then walking in that freedom. So,
thank you so much, Kristen. Thanks just for sharing that. It's just so powerful when you hear God's what he's doing in people's lives and how he is intricately involved in each one of our lives in the small details and in the big details. It's powerful. So thanks for sharing that. I can't wait for our listeners and, you know, for even myself to just hear more as hear more of your story unfold in as we continue in our journey with Abiding Free. And one last question. I'm just curious, like, what would you say you're most excited about with our ministry that we've launched?
Yeah, I love that. I think about, I get most excited hoping and seeing that chains will be broken, not by us, not by Shannon or Kristen or this ministry, but by God. I've seen him do it in my life. I've seen him do it in others in the most crazy of circumstances. Yeah. And so, you know, I do think all of us are bumping along on our journey, right? We need each other. I'm excited that we're going to peel back some layers of this onion of feeling stuck. You know, where are we stuck? What are the lies we're believing? What are the places we get stuck? And yeah, I'm just so excited. You know, thank you for listening to my story today. And, you know, stay tuned next week, you guys, because we are going to get to hear from Shannon.
Thank you so much for joining us today. If you have a second, please share this episode with someone you love.
Also, if you could scroll down and rate our podcast and follow us on social media at Abiding Free, this will help us reach more with the message of freedom.
Yeah, and then just be sure to join us next week for another episode, and know we love and are praying for you.